This is Landed, a podcast that gives you insider tips on international business expansion. My name is Eamon O'Flynn. I work at Waterloo EDC. Our organization helps companies from all over the world land in Waterloo, Canada. No matter which industry you work in, you've heard of some of our clients: SAP, Toyota, Masterclass, Beckhoff Automation, and more. We've attracted more than $1 billion in new business investment in our community, which means we have access to dozens of top business leaders and service providers who have direct experience guiding growing companies through international expansion. This podcast is all about passing their hard-won perspectives and experience to you. When companies expand to a new location, hiring a local leader can save them time, money, and risk. Someone who can help integrate your company into the community, build the initial team, and establish connections with local universities and colleges, and initiate strong relationships with local hubs, incubators, and industry associations. The challenge is finding the right person for the job. Today, we're talking to Christina McDougall, the principal and founder at Artemis Canada, an executive recruitment firm. She has worked in recruitment for more than 25 years, with extensive experience in executive recruitment, with the tech industry being her specialty. Our conversation will touch on everything from the qualities of a good local lead to the recruitment process and the things companies should consider before making a hire in their new community. She'll also suggest what companies can do to make the process as efficient and effective as possible. Let's chat with Christina. So thank you, first of all, so much for joining us today. It's wonderful to speak with you about a subject that you're probably the expert in our region. So before we really get into the subject of recruiting, executive recruiting, can you tell me a little bit about Artemis and your experience with executive recruiting?
Sure thing. So Artemis was founded in Waterloo 10 years ago. We've got teammates now in Waterloo, in Toronto, in Edmonton, and we've had the opportunity in those 10 years to partner with companies across Canada and into the US and now into Europe as well. So things have really changed over time, but the core of the business has remained the same in that we work with tech companies, more specifically growing tech companies, and help them to hire key leaders for their organizations and then specialists within those organizations as well. So a big part of that is working closely with the leadership team around the strategy for growth and advising them, you know, both on the market for talent, which is, I know, what we're going to be talking about today, but also, you know, how do you identify and then select the individuals that are going to make the impact that you need within that.
So why is it a good idea for a new to Waterloo company to hire a local lead rather than bring in someone of their own from elsewhere?
Yeah. So, you know, I think if you look at why the organizations that, you know, that we've had the opportunity to work with are coming to Waterloo, it's often, you know, to access talent fresh out of the universities, or to tap into those research capabilities within those organizations, or to pull experienced talent from the local ecosystem. And then, you know, and in a lot of cases, to be the hub for immigration as well, which is, you know, something that's, that we've seen a lot of companies take advantage of. And to do those things well, the local leader, you know, is like the expert in navigating all of that. So a local leader, you know, has the experience in understanding the local talent market, you know, which, you know, knowing what organizations have great people, where's the culture good, you know, how do you navigate the university environment to very quickly take advantage of those things? That's something that that they can take advantage of for sure. So that's a piece of it. We also have a tight-knit community. So the reputation of a strong local leader can really fast track and ensure the success of recruiting in the local market.
If you're a local lead or you're hiring someone who's been working here for 15 years or 20 years, they have those relationships. They don't need to start from zero building a new network. They can they know the people at, say, the University of Waterloo to hire from. If you're, I'm thinking of this in terms of tech in particular, and just thinking, you know which companies are operating here. You know who you might be able to partner with. You know who you can recruit from. It seems like it gives you a little bit of a head start. Not to say that you couldn't do it by bringing someone else in, but that that person has a whole bunch of extra work to do when they arrive.
Absolutely.
So what are there standard qualities that make for a good local lead? Is it a specific skill set or experience? And what do you look for when a company comes to you? And maybe it's different for every company.
Yeah, I think there's definitely differences depending on the company and what their objectives are for the local office, but there's also some consistencies. Mm-hmm. And I would say one, you know, just around resourcefulness. So, you know, someone that's going to look to stand up a new business, and not necessarily a new business, you know,
overall, but
as a startup, but the new operation of an organization, they need to be able to figure stuff out. So being resourceful, both in the community to make sure that they're taking advantage of the talent pool, but whether there's real estate and lots of other moving parts, but then also having the ability to get things done within that new organization, is a skill. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that we see that in across lots of different roles in organizations, but that's, you know, just a general skill set. Setting the tone for culture is something that's really important for a local lead, because they're going to be the extension of your organization, and, you know, it's going to define the team they hire, the way that they manage, mm-hmm. you know, the way the products get built. So aligning that culture, and that's something that's different from organization to organization.
Yes, yeah, of course.
But making sure that there's that alignment is important. Obviously, a strong leader of people. So you want to make sure that you find someone that's got a good reputation in the local community for leading people, because, you know, oftentimes we see good leaders will have like a little cadre of people that are great that have followed them from place to place. So their ability to accelerate recruiting and build that team quickly, and not only quickly, but well, mm-hmm. and then to get those people engaged. And then, you know, more than functional leadership, I think to think through, you know, the site lead needs to be really good at not only managing the work that their team is doing locally, but also navigating how that team is connected to the greater organization, and making sure that they're working across the whole business to build relationships and to understand a lot about the broader business, because that vision needs to be brought back to the local team so that everyone feels connected to something. You know, so those technical skills and domain are ideally not the top requirement in that new leader, because, you know, certainly not at the expense of the people leadership.
Yeah, it does seem, you know, if there is ever a precarious moment in an expansion to a new community, it's at the very start when you're saying we need to find a way of hitting the ground running relatively quickly, and we need. You know, if you are a company in California or you're in New York and you're not here every day, it also needs to be someone who you can trust and who you can to instill that culture, but also keep the communication lines completely open and ensure that it's like having an office right next door in the same building. It just happens to be in Canada rather than your home city.
Yeah. And everyone has, I think, over the last, you know, bunch of years, had to work remotely and to manage distributed teams. And, you know, even when people are all in the same city, if they're distributed in their home offices, it's a different dynamic, but it's not a given that people do that well.
Yes.
So, you know, finding people that are doing it well and that are, you know, that can be that glue for the local team, even if everyone's working hybrid or remote, that they do feel as though they're part of something bigger than them, because it's not just about recruiting and building that team. It's about keeping that team engaged and retaining them over time.
Yeah, definitely. So if I'm a CEO looking to grow in Waterloo, how do I start the recruitment process, and what do I need to know before I talk to you?
Mm-hmm. Well, ideally, the conversation with us starts early. So, you know, I know in working with, you know, the EDC and some of those organizations that have moved to Waterloo, you know, we can engage early to help with the education around what they're likely to find in the local market and how do you design the plan for that expansion. So that's going to take advantage of the talent in the local community, but also set that team up for long-term success. So start the conversation early. Talk to us when you're wondering about the talent pool and where to begin, because we can help with some of those things. You know, obviously, we want to make sure that you understand, you know, what are the dynamics of the local tech ecosystem? What have companies done to develop that talent? Because, you know, there's a good number of companies in the local community or that have, a you know, have come and gone over the over time, and understanding what you're likely to see in resumes and what you're likely to see, you know, from the talent pool is important as you're building up that team. So, you know, from a culture perspective, where the good and bad places to pull, to pull talent from, and, you know, also really to understand within the local community, motivations are going to be different individual to individual, but there tend to be some themes. So to really understand, like, if you're going to be out there in the community telling your story, how does that resonate best with people in the local community? Because it's again, a fairly tight knit community, and word gets around. So you want to make sure that you're leading with a good story and with authenticity and, you know, and leveraging that opportunity as well.
So are there some questions that you wish CEOs or companies would ask you more often when they're beginning this process? Are there things that they should, you wish that they would ask or would come up early? I'm kind of looking at, you know, like, what are places where there is potential for conflict further down the line because something didn't become apparent?
You know, I think sort of understanding sort of what the vision and the scope of that team is likely to be, because we have, you know, and I don't know how different this is from other talent communities, but we have a very entrepreneurial talent community. We have, you know, a community of people that want to grow with organizations. You know, ideally, people aren't changing jobs in order to move up and to get career expansion. So, you know, I think where the CEOs of those organizations or the people thinking about expansion are thinking more than solving, you know, a very specific and finite problem, to look at how are the people within that team going to be able to grow within that team over time, and how might that function be broader than, you know, a small engineering team solving a very specific problem. You know, are there opportunities to bring, you know, career expanding growth for that team that's coming in, but also, you know, voice a customer, if that makes sense. You know, is there going to be product management close by? So to be thinking through, you know, how will this team likely evolve over time so that it becomes a place to grow for people, as opposed to a way station.
And to the point about executive recruiting or local lead recruiting, if you have an idea of where this might be going, you might change who you're hiring. Right. Like that's basically the idea is that if you're focusing entirely on, you know, programming, you might want a specific type of leader. And if you're focusing on broadening that office, you might want a different type of leader who has that kind of experience.
Yeah, no, exactly. And I think so, to look at that bigger picture. And if the career growth for the leader or for anyone on the team is like, once you're going to hit the ceiling quickly and then you need to move, we need to know that, because that's not everyone's journey. Mm-hmm. So, you know, making sure, again, that we're thinking through those things. And I would say that the flip side of that, which we talked about a little bit, is really understand what is that talent ecosystem and where are those places where there might be opportunities to grow, because we have, you know, a very rich skill set, you know, that's come over time. So, you know, people that spent time at BlackBerry years ago, you know, a lot of them are still in the community and have, you know, have a variety and a very, you know, in some cases, very specialized skill set that represent opportunities.
Unique community-based opportunities. And that's actually something that came up in our first episode, talking to the CEO of Turntide Technologies. He actually said, when I look at different locations, one of the first things I do is say, what is the unique talent proposition for that, for my company? what is this company, or sorry, what is this community going to add that maybe our company doesn't have right now, or we can't find in one of our existing locations? And then who is the right person to lead on that, who can tap into that community best? So from a really kind of more technical standpoint, what does the recruitment process usually look like for a local lead? Like, how long does it take? That sort of thing.
Yeah, you know what? Interestingly, it can be relatively quick. So depending, again, on the hiring organization and how thoughtful they've been about defining their requirements beforehand. So, you know, if you know what you're looking for and you have a good sense of how to be decisive when you see what you need, we can bring people forward quickly. So again, sort of efficiency in the selection process is a big piece of that. Mm-hmm. We've found great leaders in a matter of weeks, in some cases, because we have that network.
You knew exactly what you were looking for.
Ready to go.
Yeah.
And we knew exactly what we were looking for, right? So we knew how is success going to be measured for this person, and how will they be assessed both for fit, but also for success in the role over time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and the story is very clear. So we can get out and get people excited to come in and have those conversations. So, you know, a couple of weeks, obviously, plus a notice period, you know, once the right person is hired, having a small selection team that can be decisive is key. And that's not just for site leads, but for all the searches that we do. Mm-hmm. You know, knowing that, okay, so when we find the person that's going to be able to do the role, you know, effectively, it's a small group of people that can kind of very quickly come to a decision, because our process is headhunting, leaning on our network. You know, we're not going to have a high volume of candidates who've applied for the job from mm-hmm. all over. We're really aiming to bring 4 or 5 people to the table that are a very close match, that are already excited to learn more and to hear the process. So, you know, yeah. Things can move very, very quickly. I think where the process gets longer is if it's a moving target, you know, or if the requirements, you know, in some cases they're very, very specific mm-hmm. and more difficult, and we're looking to cast a much broader net.
And I think that's actually confidence inspiring, the idea that how the process goes really depends on your client, on the people you're speaking to, because if they've done that pre-thinking, if they have a clear idea as to what they want the role to be, what they want the local office to be, then it becomes a much, not necessarily easy process, but a much easier process than if you go into it saying, we're going to post a job up online and we'll get whoever we get, and we'll sift through hundreds of applications. It's a far less efficient, that's a far less efficient approach.
Yeah, absolutely. Because it's, you know, again, it's looking for like, what does close enough look like? Mm-hmm. And I think if you start with a very clear idea of what ideal looks like, and then aim to find that person, you know, you get to the finish line quicker.
So kind of related to that, what are some of the common challenges that you might come across in hiring a local lead? Are there certain things that companies, even just clients, should expect to run across, you know, in this process?
Yeah, so I think, you know, understanding the local talent ecosystem, so, you know, getting caught up on companies in a lot of cases that you've never heard of before, if you're coming from outside the region, and then quickly, you know, learning what does that experience translate to within our organization, because we don't have, you know, the same mix of existing employers mm-hmm. than, you know, any of these companies would in their local communities, you know, in the US or in Europe or beyond. So, you know, to really get caught up on, you know, these are the companies that show up in that person's history, and these are the things that they've done, and how does that translate? So less of a challenge and more just some learning that might be different mm-hmm. than, you know, where they're coming from. And then understanding the motivations. So, you know, we find that there's a lot of consistency in how people make decisions. You know, they want to know, I'm going to have impact. You know, all the great leaders that we work with want autonomy. So they're not going to want to be micromanaged. They're going to mm-hmm. want to be given trust and space to be able to build a team, And, you know, they're going to want to know, you know, that this is a leadership team that sees us as strategic in the growth of the business and not, you know, as a dispensable extra office, because that's going to be key to how they're going to, you know, what tools they're going to have to grow their team. So, you know, I think maybe less of a challenge and more something to think about is how are you going to arm that person with all the tools so that they can be successful in building that organization and then leading that team successfully. So that story, you know, the story matters a lot. So people want to know that like, what they're doing makes a difference.
Yeah, and I think that also goes back to that idea of planning. This is the idea of knowing what the person is going to, because then you can make the strongest pitch, and you can ensure that you've thought through what is that individual going to, you know, what is the autonomy look like? What does that role look like? So that when you're talking to these people, you can answer to their questions. It's not you're not you know, making it up on the fly, or not really making it up on the fly, but you know that you're able to answer their questions. You're able to make the strongest possible pitch, because if you're talking about a local lead, you're talking about someone who's capable of leading an office. There's only just so many of those people. You need to make a strong pitch when you're reaching out to them.
Yeah, and they need to be working on something important to the company, right? So I think that that's something that, you know, the people want to hear. They want to obviously authentically want to know that like we're going to be tasked with an important piece of the product, an important, you know, new innovation. Nobody's going to be wanting like, yeah, we're just like building excess capacity to do maintenance on legacy systems. Or, you know, if you're going to tap into the best of local technical talent, they better be working on like hard technical problems that are super interesting, that matter, you know, to the success of the company. Because especially in this climate, you know, people are thinking about like, how am I necessary to this business? And if I'm building this team and therefore building this area of the product or capacity within the organization, that it's critical. And, you know, what does that story sound like, and how can you kind of put some weight behind it? And sometimes that's a bit of a journey. You know, we've worked with companies that it's only once they meet the teams and start seeing the level of talent here that they realize, oh, like we can actually take some really important, hard problems and entrust this local team to tackle them because they're very capable and, you know, able to run with it and, you know, and be accountable for that.
So we've talked a lot about hiring a local lead. What are the alternatives to hiring a local lead, and the pros and cons of those alternatives? I as someone who is not it has never worked in recruitment of any sort, the only one that obviously comes to my head is bring in your own person from elsewhere. But is there anything else? And you kind of touched on the pros and cons a bit earlier on, but.
Yeah, I think one of the things that we've seen, you know, a variety of companies do, and I think over the last few years as everyone's been remote, it seems like an easier option to just hire a bunch of individual contributors and then have those people report to someone somewhere else. And, you know, that I think has mixed success because there are individual contributors that work very well from, you know, the four walls of their home office, and they can report to a team somewhere else. It's or lots of organizations have trouble with the cohesion around that. And, you know, if you're thinking this is going to be a site with, you know, a cohesive team that's working on things together, whether or not they physically work together day in and day out or just periodically, it's hard to do that and to create that environment without leadership in the local space. So, you know, I think if we're especially if we're looking at tapping into younger talent, you know, looking at the opportunities for co-op hiring out of the university, collaborating with researchers in the university, you know, providing local opportunities for learning and growth, is really hard to manage without local leadership. So that's, I would say that's kind of the pros and the cons. I mean, obviously the ease in just hiring the local ICs without the leadership is that you can just start that IC hiring straight away. But, you know, what we have heard is there's a lot of people that do hesitate. You know, if they've got a lot of growing left to do in their career, knowing that the people they're mm-hmm. likely to learn from are very far away, you know, there's a gap in terms of building that personal relationship, but also just the on the fly learning.
Yeah.
That's a harder thing to pick up.
And I think like retaining that talent, over the long haul, the loyalty element of it, that can come in from just having those mm-hmm. personal relationships or feeling that, like you said, you don't even necessarily need to be in the office. But knowing that, the person you're working with or people you are working with are in the community, you can go out and grab a coffee or a beer or something with people you work with is a very different thing than saying, well, I report to someone, they're 4 hours away. We work in totally different time zones. And, you know, it seems to me like there are additional culture related challenges. You brought up culture a bunch so far, like culture related mm-hmm. challenges with just hiring individual contributors in a new location.
And even though, like, you know, great software engineers and data scientists, like they're absolutely in demand and their jobs are pretty secure just because they've got what they have in their resume, there is a security consideration mm-hmm. when you're the one remote person. And I think that, you know, if you look at, you know, the layoffs skew more heavily in, you know, to remote employees. So having a local presence and local leadership and local relationships across the broader organization benefits everybody. And that's a consideration as people are thinking about their moves and, you know, as they're receiving those recruiting calls, they want to know like what is local.
Yep. Yeah. So that's all we had for you. I would love to ask you, you know, how can people reach out to you? If anyone who's listening, if they're interested in learning more, where do they find you?
Absolutely. So ArtemisCanada.com is our site and all of our contact information is there. And you can, you know, we've got some stories there of the work that we've done and happy to, you know, if anyone's listening that just wants to understand about local salaries and the local community and what's happening, you know, those are conversations that we love to have. So, you know, happy to just provide insight. But our website's the best place to start.
That's great. Thank you so much for joining us today.
All right. Thanks so much.
That's all for today. Is your company interested in expanding to Canada? Our team is always available for a no-strings chat with business leaders looking for information about immigration, government incentives and tax credits, expansion data, talent acquisition, and more. Enjoy the show? Subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you find your favorite podcasts. You can also subscribe on our website at waterlooedc.ca/podcast, or simply follow us on Twitter and LinkedIn at waterlooedc. Until next time. Goodbye from Waterloo.